Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight is an 18-year-old senior at Cranbrook Schools who has battled a rare pediatric cancer for 2 years. He's inspired tens of thousands of people through a blog detailing his ongoing journey with cancer. He believes that dying is not what scares him, it's dying and having had no impact. On June 8th, he and Bob Woodruff will give the commencement speech at Cranbrook Schools. His name? Miles Levin. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Miles Levin, who has a slogan. He has many slogans, but one is keep fighting, stop struggling. Miles, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad?
Absolutely. It's a great place to start. I would not be here without them. They have been incredible in stepping forward and taking charge of my care and getting me the best possible treatment.
What does your mom do and what does your dad do?
My mom was a psychologist. She's currently a full-time mom fighting for her son's life now. And my dad is in property management.
What are the biggest things you learned from your mom? And what are the biggest things you learned from your dad?
From my mom, I've really seen how this is a world that will pass you by if you don't seize it, and this is a world that has a lot of cancer patients, and they're all, you know, calling for more medicines, and you really need to assert yourself and be your own advocate. My dad has a patience and a level-headedness that you need to keep about you at all times, but especially with cancer. I remember one time I got a blood infection, which just took me down from total health to shivering and fever within about 10 minutes, and he stayed totally calm. He called the ambulance, and it just really saved the situation.
Talk about the first 16 years of your life.
Well, I guess they were pretty normal. I was born in Omaha, Nebraska, and I was a quiet sort of kid who would sit out in the yard and watch a beetle, crawl over a log for hours and contemplate and come back with some, you know, philosophical question that I'd been pondering, and I'd talk about it with my dad, and I guess I was a kid for the first 16 years of my life, and that changed in one day.
What dreams did you have?
What dreams did I have? I really... I knew that I wanted to make a positive impact somehow in the world, that that was a requirement for me.
How did you learn you had cancer?
I found out I had cancer. I was actually mowing the lawn, and I just had stomach pain that was so severe that I had to stop. And we took me to the emergency room to get a CAT scan. And I remember I had some sort of date, or I was going to see a movie, and I was just thinking, you know, am I going to get out of here before, you know, is this still going to work? And looking back at what I was about to launch into, that seemed so trivial. They did a CAT scan, and they saw that my lymph nodes were all enlarged, and that led to my diagnosis.
What were your first thoughts when they told you you're 16 and you have cancer?
They initially said I had lymphoma, and I had a vague awareness that this was some type of cancer, but I could not believe. There was just total disbelief, total surreality. I thought that it was it felt like a dream.
What's the specific type cancer you have?
It turns out I have something called rhabdomyosarcoma, which is a very rare pediatric muscle cancer. There are only 350 cases a year. So this is mind-boggling that I would wind up with this. I know somebody has to, but I still can't get over the fact that it's me.
You learned this on June 4th, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Talk about what it's like going through chemo.
Well, not all chemo is created equal. Some are really pretty tolerable, but the things that they can give the kids, especially when you have something as aggressive as I do, it's pretty bad. It's really a poison that they put in your body, and a lot of cells die. If they put enough, every cell would die, but they find a level where only some die, and it ends up being all the fastest growing cells as they're constructed sort of weakly. And the cancer cells are dividing very rapidly, so they die, but it leads to a whole host of other side effects. You know, the lining of your stomach dies, and the your body will stop producing blood. And in terms of the experience, it feels like you've been poisoned, that you've put this substance in your body that every cell says, I want this out of here. It's a toxicity more than anything else.
Every second, someone finds out they have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
For those listeners that have just found out, or loved ones that have just found out that a loved one has had cancer, just gotten cancer, what would you say to them tonight?
I would say, you know, you have to take a breath and realize that of all the times, you know, in history, in the world, that you could get cancer, you've picked the best time, you're in, you know, the best country. There are options available to you which have never been available before, and you can take hope in that.
Amazing. We're talking to Miles Levin. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're talking to Miles Levin, who's inspired tens of thousands of people through a blog that he talks about his journey with cancer. Miles, a lot of people, when they're dealt an awful hand in life, their response is, why me? There is no God. No God would do this to me. And they withdraw. You've done the opposite. Why?
Well, first I want to say that it does make sense to me why somebody would have that reaction. You know, you're just going along, you're being a good person. You could be the best person in the world and still have this happen to you. Why have I done the opposite? I don't quite know. I have asked why me, and what I've come to is why, you know, this has happened to me. So I could show the world how to deal with this, and I could show as many people as I could how to keep hope in the essential goodness of the world and the worthwhileness of living, and how to endure, how to persevere. And I've really tried to do that as best I can. So I do ask why me, and I hope that's why.
Have you gotten any answers from God?
You know, I tend to believe there's a God. I really don't know. You know, I see babies, and, you know, I see bald children just screaming in pain, and I have to consider that maybe there's not. But even if there's not, there's still goodness in the world, and I'm still going to try and do, you know, show the world how to do this. That doesn't change. Just because there might not be a God, there's no goodness, although I tend to believe that there is a God.
You started a blog. What is a blog, and why did you start one?
A blog is just sort of an online journal that you keep a record of your life, and mine started on a site called carepages.com, which was set up to help keep extended family and friends informed when somebody's going through a long-term medical crisis, and I started writing just as a way to keep people informed of, you know, I'm starting chemo, I'm starting radiation, it's going okay. Just pure information. And then I began to write more about the experience, what I was going through, you know, what it was like to be, what it is like to be an 18-year-old with cancer, what it's like to, you know, get a blood transfusion in the morning and then go to history in the afternoon. And as I began to do that, more and more people started coming and reading the Care Pages.
For our listeners that want to learn more, carepages.com, and then the page name is Levin, L-E-V-I-N, Story. Speaking of the blog, a few statements that you've written. Dying is not what scares me. It's dying and having had no impact. I know a lot of eyes are watching me suffer, and win or lose, this is my time for impact.
Mm-hmm.
Expound.
Yeah, that was really around the first time, or around that time, I really started feeling how many people were starting to follow this story and let this story become their own. And I realized that as horrible as this is, it's an incredible opportunity where people are listening and people are actually changing. And they've told me all the ways in which they're living their lives differently. And that has spurred me on.
All over Cranbrook, you see T-shirts. Keep fighting, stop struggling. That's one of your many models. What do you mean by that?
Well, first I should say I never wanted any sort of slogan. You know, I tried to avoid the cancer cliches, live life to the fullest. I want people to take what they take away from my experience. I want to do it as best I can, and everybody will find something different. Keep fighting, stop struggling is sort of my existentialist approach to my life. You know, I think you have to, you don't know what will be within your power to change, and the only way to find out or to be able to live with yourself is to give it everything you've got. And you may do that and find that that is not enough. I may do everything I can, and I will still die of cancer. And at that point, you have to stop struggling because there's nothing you can do. You've given it everything. And you let it go and say, this is how it's supposed to be.
On June 4th, 2006, so 1 year to the day that you found out you had cancer, you wrote this. As I think about it, maybe the world is fairer than we think. Maybe we tend to say, Miles got cancer, he was a good kid, he didn't deserve this, life isn't fair. But we aren't taking into account the fortunate landings of the dice that have also played into my life. On and on and on. One, Miles, you're a great writer.
Thank you.
So, expound on that, if you will.
You know, except for one area of my life, I am so blessed. And even in the area of cancer, I am able to get the best treatment in the world at Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York. I have health insurance. You know, I have the internet that's allowed me to find new treatments. I have responded to treatment. I have a friend who's relapsed with my cancer. They've done chemo. It's not doing a thing. Not everybody responds to the chemo, and I've had a great response. So, you know, I think, yeah, it's you can get down on yourself, but you always have more than you think.
Thousands of people have responded back to you via this blog from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Are there two or three that just really struck you?
Yeah, I got an email the other day from a family in Ann Arbor. They had a daughter who was a senior in high school. And she was diagnosed in the fall with a brain tumor that was inoperable. And they came across my story when it was in the Detroit News about a month ago. And since that time, I've been reading my Care Pages, and they told me that they've all found a sense of peace, a sense of understanding and acceptance, and they'd find their daughter reading and rereading my messages, and They said they watched my CNN segment on Wednesday, and she died on a Friday. But they just wanted to thank me for helping them come to terms with it. And I read that and I cried, because that, to hear that, especially from another cancer patient who I feel a sort of kinship with, that makes it all worth it. And then to multiply that by thousands, I would really probably invite this upon myself.
Can you share with us one more?
There was a woman in, and this is sort of, people who don't have cancer can still find something, or they say, this is it, I'm changing today. She hadn't been in contact with her daughter for many years. It had a falling out, and she said, this is enough, I'm getting in my car, I'm picking up some flowers, and I'm going to go help her plant a garden. And she did, and now they're back on speaking terms, and I feel really fulfilled that I was able to do that for somebody.
We're talking to Miles Levin. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Miles Levin, who has endured 23 months of chemotherapy. Miles, you write often that we should live each day to the fullest, that we should cherish each day. Can you please expound on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I could not tell you that every day is something fun, but I would say it is an adventure, and there's something to be learned from it. I find myself in a position now where, before, initially, with my first round of chemo, my first cycle, I was like, this is awful, but I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to be dancing at my grandkids' wedding. And now I'm probably in a position where I'm saying, okay, I'm going to do this horrible treatment for, 2 months of living, 4 months of living. And that is something I've had to evaluate and say, is life worth it? Is this price I have to pay worth it? And I think it is, because the good moments are so incredible, and that is something that I've been sensitized to through the price I've had to pay.
May 5th of this year, you write this. I'm sitting outside on a bench, the first time in a week, while my mom got the car from the hospital parking lot. Something beautiful happened. Suddenly the world, picturesque, beautiful, Beaumont Hospital, became more beautiful than I could ever recall seeing it. And you go on to say how beautiful it was watching Woodward. You have a phenomenal appreciation. Talk about how many of us just assume things and take everything for granted.
Mm-hmm. I assume things and take things for granted, certainly. Yeah, cancer is something that really is a wake-up call to how much you have. And I've often wondered, even before I relapsed, I think to myself, these past 2 years of super living might be something that I would elect to do, even if I knew it was going to be my last, because they are so much more rich and full. It's unfortunate that it takes something this bad to realize how much you have. And one of the things I'm most proud of is that I think I've helped people to realize that without having to invite something like this, a catastrophe upon themselves.
We're talking to Miles Levin, who's an 18-year-old young man. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Miles Levin, who on June 8th is scheduled, along with Bob Woodruff, to give the commencement speeches at Cranbrook Schools. Quite an honor. So, Miles, what's the basic message you're trying to get across to all of us?
I either don't have one, I don't know, or I'm not going to tell you. I try and live my life as best I can, as nobly as I can, and as bravely as I can. And I want people to take away from that whatever they find to be personally relevant or inspiring. And I've found that you can't channel some sort of spoon-fed message because, you know, somebody has told me I was depressed. And since I've read your care pages, I've realized life is a precious thing. So they take that away. Another person has told me my father died and you've helped me find acceptance of that. You know, another person it was trying to lose weight and keep fighting, stop struggling, inspired them. So this seems to be touching such a wide range of people that I don't try and channel them into some sort of cliche. I let them find what they'll find.
How has your view of God changed these last 2 years?
I've been pretty angry with him at times. I've been pretty, I've just cried because I've been so grateful for getting this much life, for, you know, having some small moment where I'm having a pizza and I'll just think, thank you, God, for bringing me to this day. I guess I have become a little less certain that there is a God just after seeing not so much, not even, you know, I can accept a God that would do this to me. I can accept a God that would do this to my parents, but I've really had trouble accepting a God that would do this to my sister. She only has one sibling, and that's me. I'm her older brother. And that's just, maybe it's the human imperfection in me, but I can't get past that.
Mark Twain said it was amazing to see how much his dad learned and got smarter from the time he was 16 to 21. How has your view of your mom and dad changed these 2 years?
Yeah, they've certainly, I would say the same thing about them, but I think part of it's objective. We've all learned so much. But I've really come to see them as, you know, this what's happened has really been a family effort more than anything. That we've persevered. I see them as, with people I look up to, but also members of my team.
Can you share with us some of the conversations you've had with God these last 2 years?
I think initially I'd try and make promises. You know, early on in my cancer, I'd say, you know, if you let me live, I will do something good in the world. And I've since, my conversation now is more, you know, if you're going to do this to me and this is what I'm supposed to do, please just give me the strength to do it.
In the Our Father, it says, "Not my will, but thine be done." It's very hard for all of us to surrender to God. You've done this. You've lost your hair. You've lost some of your voice. You were a wide receiver for the football team at Cranbrook. You had a great future. You had it all. Great parents. How have you learned to surrender?
Well, I don't have anger. No, I don't. I realize the futility. It's keep fighting, stop struggling. You do what you can, and beyond that, it's in God's hands or it's in some greater power than your own, and we're just little people kicking our feet on a raft in the ocean, and the currents are going to take us where they will. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't kick as hard as you can.
You have a phenomenal way of expressing yourself. What you just said, any listener that goes back and reads these blogs, it's phenomenal. Did you always have that ability?
It's certainly something that I've cultivated. I don't know, you know, I think it runs in my family. My grandma is a journalist, and I think what a lot of people have told me is that they've been impressed that I've been able to hold in each hand the rational, intellectual, philosophical, with the human and the emotional and deal with them. You know, so many people will try and just intellectualize, or so many people have just overpowering emotional reactions, and I've tried to balance that. And for me, that I think is the healthiest way to approach it.
Were you a straight A student?
No, I I was. I had a 3.1 my freshman year, and it was really not until I came back for my junior year, as I was doing chemotherapy treatments, as I was missing weeks of school at a time, that somehow I got my act together, and I think at a 3.9. I was taking reduced course load, but I was just so determined to prove that I could do it, and to prove to cancer, if there is, I know cancer's not watching and cancer won't be impressed with me, but to prove to cancer that I am still in control of my life, I'm still going to go to school, I'm not going to sit on a couch and watch daytime TV and be depressed. That's just, I'm sorry, cancer, but it's not going to be like that. I'm going back to school.
There's listeners out there tonight that are in their 80s, in their 90s, and they want to die. They feel, you know, their life isn't important anymore. They can't make a difference. What would you say to them, Miles Levin?
I think they can make a difference. They have so much world experience that they've gained and that they can impart. I think if they feel that their story is not worth being told, that that's just wrong.
We're all going to meet our maker someday. There's only two givens in life. We have to pay taxes, and we're all going to die. When you meet your maker, what are you going to tell him?
That's a question I've never really considered before. I suppose I'd say, turns out you're real. Turns out there is a plan. Thank you for all you've given me. Thank you for bringing you to me.
Have you surprised yourself?
Yes. Well, more than I've surprised myself, other people have surprised me in how much they've enveloped me in love and rallied around me. But no, I do remember distinctly at the beginning of treatment thinking we thought it'd be 42 weeks. It ended up being much longer than that, but I have 42 weeks of chemotherapy. I'm going to have to do the worst experience of my life for 1 week, every 3 weeks, for a year. There's no way I can do this. And one thing I've learned is the impermanence of both the good times and the bad times.
The school has changed. Cranbrook Schools has changed. It will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 6 yellow school buses to take these kids from one end of the school to the other end of school. Almost a half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And one day they say, or a couple days they say, you know, forget the school buses, we're going to walk for miles. Moment for miles.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start cutting their hair, locks for Levin, to donate the hair to cancer victims. I mean, you've changed the whole school. You've changed tens of thousands of young people's lives. How'd that happen?
Well, yeah, I had cancer. That's what I've done. They have changed, and they have been receptive to change. And that's something they did. I didn't. You know, they've changed, and I'm so indebted to them for the support they gave me. I don't know if I could do this nearly as well without them.
We're talking to Miles Levin. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Miles Levin. 2 years ago, got a very rare pediatric cancer, striking 350 victims in the U.S. per year. Miles, do you feel you've had a full life these 18 years?
Certainly the past 2 years, I have done more living and undergone more growth than I probably would have done in 10 or more. So those past 2 years have been incredibly full, and I don't know how, because half of the time I was doing chemotherapy. But I'm starting to feel like I've accomplished enough. Not that I'm going to be thrilled to die, but that I will be able to die with a taking of a certain pride in my life.
If you could, would you trade your life with anyone?
Would I trade it?
Would you trade your life with anyone?
Oh, no, I would. You mean, would I give this to somebody as a burden to bear? I know I'd have to give it to my mom. I would feel it would be incredibly hard to do, and I wouldn't want to. But I know it's what she would want. That would be hard, though. And if that sort of trade were possible, I would have no choice but to be a somebody in this life who really makes their time count for something.
A lot of people question God. Why do bad things happen to good people? I've talked to some fellow students at Cranbrook, and everybody said, greatest person you'll ever meet in the world. Miles Levin, greatest guy you'll ever meet in the world. You were phenomenally loved before this happened. Why do bad things happen to good people?
Oh, that is a hard question. I've never heard an answer that I said, oh yeah, that makes total sense. The only thing I can come to is that we are chosen, the decent people who have these terrible things happen, we are chosen to show people how you stay on your feet with grace, and how you still find light in a very dark room.
What dreams or goals do you still have?
Survival. That's up there.
What is success to you?
Success to me is leaving the world a better place than you found it, as much as was personally possible, and finding a happiness in whatever form that may be for you.
By that definition, Miles, you are a phenomenal success.
Well, thank you, sir.
What's the key to happiness?
Key to happiness, I think, is living by choices that you approve of and would respect in another person. I don't see how you could live an authentic life like that and be unhappy.
What are you the proudest of?
What's happened? What's surrounded this story? The good that's come out of it. I noticed I go anywhere and so much goodness comes out in the people around me. Everybody starts doing the right thing and the hard thing. It's really something rare, something beautiful, and I'm humbled to be able to take what part I can in engendering that.
As I sit here with you, as I studied up on you these last couple of weeks, words that come forth to me are acceptance, trust, appreciation, peacefulness, hope. What do you say to a listener who says, I don't have any hope?
Well, to paint a realistic picture for myself, I do have those things. I do have a sadness. I will come back to your question. I say, God, maybe this is how it has to be. Maybe it's for the best. But I'm disappointed, and I do feel a sadness for the experiences I'll never have. To someone who doesn't have hope, that's a really hard. My heart goes out to someone of that position. I think there are miracles that are happening every day. There are people that are surviving, that are defying the odds. I can't tell you that it'll happen to you, that what you want or need will even happen to you. But there's a chance that it will, and that's worth clinging to and fighting for and sticking around.
Also in the studio tonight is Miles' dad, John. John Levin, who's a property manager. John, these last 2 years have been unbelievable. What's the biggest thing Miles has taught you and your wife?
Well, thank you, Jack. I can speak for myself. I wouldn't want to speak for Nancy, but Miles has certainly taught many people many things, and one of the big things he's taught me is that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our abilities, capabilities, limitations, powers, that we can take what we have, what we've been given, and find a way to contribute to our community. And Miles demonstrates that very well.
Miles, there's a duality here. You're a young man, phenomenally bright, phenomenally well-spoken, and you're a cancer victim that historically usually happens much later in life. How do you explain that?
Well, yeah, I can be very, very strange at times. It truly is living in two worlds. Two worlds that can never understand each other. And I think that's why a lot of teenagers will feel isolated. I've walked down the halls and looked around and thought, you know, you could never begin to understand how far you fall short of even understanding what my life is like. I've since given up on that. I know they can't understand, but they can still love me and support me all the same. But it's very strange. It's for all the children with cancer, it strips away a certain innocence, and you're spending time in these waiting rooms with all these other bald kids, and it forces you to grow up in a very rapid and sometimes harsh way.
Are you hopeful that we'll find a cure for cancer?
I hope so. The cancer treatment is on the verge of a breakthrough, and instead of having to do a broad systemic poisoning, they're working on drugs that target the cancer cells specifically. It's called molecular targeting. There's already one out, Avastin. I think one day maybe you'll go to a CVS and say, one cancer cure, please, over the counter. But certainly we'll look back at chemotherapy and radiation and say this is barbaric.
June 8th, you're giving the commencement speech.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what you're going to say?
I do have an idea, yeah.
Still soup? Still working on soup?
Still working on it.
Last question.
Yeah, here it is.
What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I would invite any young person to consider the possibility that they could be me, or they could be in the shoes of any pediatric cancer victim who doesn't have a future to count on. And something I would recommend, and I try and do, and you don't have to be religious even to do this, is just to take a couple minutes before you go to bed and think of all the things that you have in your life to be grateful for. And that's really humbled me and made me a better and more grateful person.
Miles Levin, what a great show. What a phenomenal life, and what an inspiration.
Thank you for having me on. It's a true honor.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spock.